welcome to the sixth edition of the Macko and Kaz podcast. I'm Matt Kaz. That is Bob Mackowitz. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, Matty. Good to be here. I've got a name for this edition of the podcast.
All right.
It's the already outdated edition.
Okay.
Because by the time anybody hears this with all the crazy news that's going on in the sports world,
that's true.
I guarantee at least 15, maybe as much as 25% of what we talk about will no longer be relevant.
That's a good
way to sell what's coming up.
Yeah, it's a really good way to sell it. I mean, I can't believe Vegas traded all three of those picks and are going to get Nolan Patrick. That's crazy that that's already happened in the future.
Are you making that up? Because that's actually a rumor I've heard.
Of course.
Is that they're trading up to get Nolan Patrick? Yeah. You've heard that?
Well, I mean, they got three first-round picks. They got a bunch of seconds. They can do that.
Okay.
You know, or at least they have the weapons in place to do it. So at 10:59 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday, June 22nd, I'm calling it, Vegas already. So, Bob, should we talk about what Nolan Patrick is going to... No, I'm kidding. But you're right. There's going to be a lot of stuff we're going to miss.
The already outdated edition
of
the Macko and Kaz podcast.
That's a good name.
So you're going to do Leafs takeaway coming up in a few minutes.
Yep.
I'm going to do a Raptors takeaway coming up in a few minutes because we got the NHL draft tomorrow and the NBA draft tonight.
Free agency just
around the corner. It's a nutty time. It has been almost impossible to keep track of things, man. I don't know if I've ever remembered a 96-hour window this nutty
in
sports
Vegas.
Before.
You just have the expansion. You got the expansion draft and then, you know, what McPhee's going to do and, oh, you know what? I won't take that guy if you give me this pick. Yeah, it's been nuts.
It's Thursday morning and we're all waking up as Toronto Maple Leafs fans, well, those of us who are fans, and saying, oh, yeah, and Austin Matthews also won the Calder yesterday.
Yeah.
Can you imagine 2 years ago what that conversation would have been like if you would have woken up the day after the awards and your most recent draft pick was the rookie of the year? It's like seventh on the list right now.
It really is. By the way, one quick thing about the NHL awards, because I didn't really watch much of it, and I'm not going to do the easy thing of bashing the NHL awards, because you know, you knew they weren't going to be great. Did you see the expression of Connor McDavid when he won? Like, first, the couple seconds before, like, I hate to say it, it's just, listen, any one of us looks foolish if the camera's on us, we don't know. And he looked foolish. But it almost seemed like an inconvenience. You know, they called him Connor McDavid. He's like, all right, there we go. All right, let me hug you, Like, try to have a little excitement.
He kind of reminds me of that guy who's embarrassed to go to the washroom when other people are in the house, and so he's just waiting for the company to leave so he can finally go in peace.
Yeah.
He just has that look like, they just started another story.
Yeah.
This is going to be at least 20 minutes.
Or when you're in a hotel and the bathroom is right next to the bedroom, and you're like, I need more room because the natural noises of sometimes going to the bathroom, I don't want my girlfriend to hear it. It's the same kind of thing.
It's exactly it. You just wish you were alone.
Yeah.
So badly.
Yes, you really do.
We should talk about why you didn't watch the awards last night.
Yeah.
Because you just got back from an exciting wine-soaked trip to Kelowna.
Yes, it was fantastic. First off, a shout out to Mission Hill. Bob, you know how much in my life I've been spoiled. And
for lack of a better word, sure.
You know that every now and then, you know, things have gone my way. So take that when I say this. I don't think I've ever had a, say, 4 to 5 hour period where so much was vested onto me at Mission Hill. Private tour and tasting. It was ridiculous. Like, at a point, I'm going, you don't need to do this for me. Like, this, you've gone over the top. So kudos to Mission
Hill.
Give
me one example, because that's a hell of a tease, Matt. For a guy who once told me he didn't have a boat at his cottage, he had 6 boats at his cottage.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's collective among the family.
Yeah,
they weren't all owned by me.
Honestly, any explanation, you don't even need to make.
But yes. Assassination. all right, here's...
All right, so give me one example of what pampering cause would look like.
In the private tasting, they opened up several bottles that are, you know, mid to high 100, you know, some that can go for very high in the hundreds. And so we got to try everything. And then at the end of it, I'm like, this is great. You're giving us an hour and a half tour and all this wine. The guy's like, here, pour yourselves a full glass of any of the wines you had, and now we're going to take you over to the restaurant, the terrace restaurant, and there's some charcuterie waiting for you overlooking the Okanagan Lake. It was fantastic. And I'm like, we're all, me and my girlfriend and her twin are looking at each other, and we're going, is this really happening to us? So big shout out.
You're the best. You really are the best.
Bob's look was so angry.
No. Well, a little.
Okay,
that is true. All right, so we're going to get to Leafs. We're going to get to Raptors. Our big question this week, this is in honor of the draft tonight and the NHL draft tomorrow, is what is your favorite day
in
each of the four major sports. Mm-hmm. When you think about the 365 a day a year swath that it is being a fan, what is that one day a year that you look forward to the most for each individual sport?
Absolutely.
And I feel like I can guess yours now.
You might be able to guess some of them. Yeah, there's definitely like I'm not going to hipster with my choices.
Right.
One last little thing just about Kelowna. Everyone go there. Everyone is super nice. It's easy. You can drive around it. And just,
are you on the tourism board now or something?
No, but like all the wineries.
I feel like I'm going to buy a timeshare from you.
You'd love it there. It's mountains. It's hiking. You're overlooking the lake. You can see, you know, snow caps and that's the thing. But and just everyone is super nice and friendly.
I've been there before, and it really is quite
lovely.
I feel like I've got an important question to ask you, and I don't know if this is the right time to do it.
Why not?
Okay. So you were delayed at the Calgary airport yesterday?
Yes.
And you were sitting there drinking?
Not that much. Not that as much as you think. Okay,
because it sounded like you were getting nicely pickled.
By the end.
You were Maddie the Vlasic pickle.
Yeah.
Cause.
Okay. See, we get there in the morning.
By the end. Well, that's the point.
Well, no, because we thought we were going to make the one flight.
And say, were you drunk? No. Well, at the end I was, but not at first.
No. In the end, it was just a beer and we split a bottle of wine between three people.
Okay.
But we get there in the morning and what amazed me is the casualness of, and they don't have this in Toronto, people drinking at 9:30 in the morning. We walk into the Chili's and there's a couple of people at the bar and it's not like they're just having their first sip. I mean, this, you know, hard liquor or glass of wine is near done. And they're just like,
what, they got like a line of Jager bombs lined up on the bar?
But it's just 9:25 in the morning. This is normal. And it got me thinking, adults must love this when you go to airports where you can drink in the morning because it's that special treat. It's like, I'm getting away with something. You feel like a kid again, you know, having ice cream before dinner.
And that's the genius of the mimosa.
Yeah.
Which is just an excuse to get drunk at brunch.
Yeah.
You put a little orange juice in your champagne.
But this is not 10:45 at brunch. This is 9:15 with a scotch and soda and a glass of Chardonnay. It's
scotch and soda.
It is a remarkable thing. And they're just so casual about it. I didn't even drink that early, but flight got delayed and then the booze came.
All right. Yeah. So that said, Oh, and also our top five this week, inspired by the beginning of summer, is top five best sides for steak.
Yes.
This might have been motivated. I said, Maddie, we had like a long list of possible top fives, and it's like, I want to talk about food.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do the list.
Hey, listen, I threw out five ideas, and you threw out a completely different one. I'm like, hey, that's a great one. Let's do it.
Yeah, well, not only are you a good teammate, I think you allowed me to come here and roster bait over the idea of what sides I could have with the imaginary steak that I can't have.
Because for people who don't know, Bob is on a diet. You look great, obviously.
Thanks.
People,
I lost about 17 pounds, buddy.
That's fantastic. Having a couple shakes and a small designated amount of protein with all your vegetables.
Closely measured.
Yes.
All right. So why don't you start us off, Maddie, with your first takeaway for the week.
Bob, I don't want to live in fear anymore because I've been living in fear. I see David Clarkson's contract. I see Toscola. I see John Michael Lyles, Jeff Finger, Stefan Robida, and I'm seeing money being thrown at horrible, horrible veterans that make no sense. And Brian Burke getting seduced like all other management, saying, we got to win. We got to win now. And I, for so long, would say, nope, stand pat. I know you got all this cap money, but you don't need to chase something. And then, of course, who convinces me otherwise? James Mertl. When James Mertl says, go for it, then I'm all in. And he just brings up a simple point that other people brought up. It's nothing earth-shattering. Is that because of the contracts of the Matthews, the Marner, and the Nylanders, you are in a unique position. You know, much like the Seahawks with Russell Wilson, you've got three really talented difference makers on the ice, and they're not making squat.
And they won't be making squat for the next few years.
Exactly. Go now, make that big deal. I am no longer living scared, Bob. I am fully in on this one. You've got the window. It actually logically makes sense to spend like crazy. Usually it doesn't. Usually it's especially Canadian owners getting seduced by the possibility of winning in a Canadian market. This time is completely different.
It's interesting you use James Mertl as your reference point because he's one of the prime spokesmen for the analytics community.
Yeah.
He's got kind of one of the bigger mainstream media slash sort of not mainstream media jobs as the editor of The Athletic.
Yeah.
And he's an analytics guy. And generally speaking, the magic word for analytics, the analytics crew, is value. So you do a lot of small things. You do a lot of smart things. They're not the, you know, try to spend big on a big star because that almost never works out for you. It tends to be do a whole bunch of little moves and don't waste your cash. So when he says, you know, get drunk and start throwing cash around like mad at 10 a.m. at a Chili's in Calgary.
There you go.
There you go. Living big.
By the way, the spring roll is delicious.
I bet it is. You know what? Everything's always a little better after that second drink, isn't it?
It really is.
Wow, this stale Cheeto is delicious.
It is awesome.
So here's my question, because I don't disagree with you necessarily, unless it's a bad move that you do. Just because you have the money doesn't mean you should spend the money.
Of course. What does
going big mean to you?
It's
not a great free agent. Like, are you talking like spend big on Joe Thornton? Like, what do you mean?
No, it's still, you don't want to be stupid, but it's still, if you could get that Shattenkirk or that Carl Alsner, or just.
But Carl Alsner is not necessarily a good signing, right? Like, free agency, it's funny you brought up David Clarkson, because we all still live in the fear and the shadow of that move. But he was at the top of his free agent class. Let's not forget that even though there were red flags, a lot of people thought, well, this would be a great move.
Mm-hmm.
I thought at the very least it would be a good move. I thought they gave him too much term, but I didn't ever saw this. My point being, like, just because you have the cash doesn't mean you should spend it.
You should. Of course not. No one's saying do something dumb. But if there is something available, especially for defense, it's funny. For the draft, I'm just saying, Leafs, get the best player available. But for free agency, if it's the fit, if it is the defenseman that allows Morgan Riley and Jake Gardner, those guys, to go down one notch, do it. Do the deal. Even if you've got to overspend a bit. Because guess what? Everyone since the beginning of time have overspent in free agency.
I can't disagree with you, except for where I just don't see it as a likely scenario, because I don't know who that free agent signing would be. Isn't it much more likely that it would come, like that acquisition would be via trade?
Mm-hmm.
So that if it's for a Jacob Trouba, who is a budding young star,
yep,
wants to get out of Winnipeg, he's a right-handed shot, well, Kevin Cheveldayoff's not going to let him go cheaply. Are you willing?
Then get rid of picks. Yes.
Okay.
I'm
so,
also
but,
saying
but,
that.
But are you talking like, is a Nylander on the table? Because it could cost you a Nylander to get a top flight right-handed shot.
No. I'm saying they don't have the same level of picks they did last year, but they still have a bunch of second rounders in the next couple of years. They've got the 17th pick.
Yeah, but nobody's making that deal, Matty. Like, nobody's giving you a bona fide top pair defenseman for some second rounders down the road.
Then go out of free agency. Go in free agency.
But who's that guy?
Shattenkirk. Shattenkirk.
Okay, you want Kevin Shattenkirk to get a big contract to come to Toronto.
Yes.
I'm going to disagree with you vehemently
on
that one. That feels that feels like an old way of doing the Leafs kind of move, where he's available and we're going to wind up overpaying him somewhere down the line, but let's just get him here because we want to win now.
You get at least 2 to 3 years where you don't have to worry about it's not going to affect your cap because you've all this young talent. Now is the time to strike. The Nashville Predators were the worst team going in the playoffs. They got the game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Now is the time to be bold. Now is the time to find the guy. Bob, stop living in fear.
Matt, living in fear is... There's a difference. Yeah, there's a difference between I'm not living in fear and I'm willing to do dumb things. It's not the same deal. Like,
not living in fear means
that I'm, you know what? I'm just going to take a little line of credit out and I'm going to take that extra trip and I'm going to Tahiti and I'm not living in fear anymore. I mean, that's Oprah would applaud that move.
Yes.
That's a life affirming move.
Yes.
It would be a bad move to say, I'm going to sell my house, give all the money away and live on the beach and sell shells.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying now is the time to go and do everything you can to try to find that player.
No, you're always just like, let me ask you this.
You're living in fear.
I'm not living in fear. I'm trying to build a winner. Like, if it winds up being Colin Miller, if there's a nice little deal with Vegas, and you know, this is the already outdated edition, so that could have happened
by now. Bob McKenzie says that one's media-driven anyway.
Yeah, that one could be media-driven, but what if it's Matt Dumba?
Mm-hmm.
And he winds up here? Because he's not like a top-pairing guy, but he would be probably a pretty good fit in a top four. So he's not a spectacular move, but he makes you better.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be able to get him without really damaging the core. Or what if it's a Chris Tanev and it costs you a Connor Brown, which doesn't kill you in the future, but it, you know, you got to give to get. Like, these are the kinds of moves that make you better, but you don't touch your core and you still have a reasonable amount of cap space to work with moving forward. Why is that not an acceptable conclusion to this next 2 week window?
Shattenkirk is 28 years old.
Does Shattenkirk make you a champion? Like, Shattenkirk didn't help Washington. Why are we so convinced that he's going to turn the Leafs into a champion?
Because it's the exact perfect fit for what the Leafs need.
Necessarily. Like,
yes, it
maybe
is.
Maybe on
it,
paper.
Yes, it is.
I don't
it
know,
is,
Matt.
It
maybe,
is the
maybe you see
fit.
Something in him that I don't. I just don't see that. I'm still thinking, like, they've got... If Kyle Dubas right now is tied up in a broom closet somewhere at the ACC because they don't want to hear him saying, well, you know, we got to be careful about these things.
And you're hanging out with him in that broom closet. You know,
why would we need a low first round pick when we can swap down and get two second rounders?
And, and here's Bob Mackwitz. Right again, KD. Beat it with that.
Look, I understand the idea to move forward. And I do think that we have to accept that we were all braced for a 5 to 7 year period where it would take to really be good. And we were braced for probably a 2 to 3 period, three year period where it was going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
Because it's only been 1 year of sucking, really.
You have all this cap space.
And they're already pretty good.
You have all this cap space
here. Doesn't mean you need to use it. It's a valuable thing moving forward.
Yes, but the thing is, this is the time to use it because of the rookies. This is a unique
Well, you are going to have to pay them down the road.
Yes, I know, but
it's never a good time to pick up a bad contract.
I don't think Shattenkirk's a bad contract.
Well, that's where we differ.
It's a unique 2 year window. Exploit it. Don't be so nervous.
I kind of want to see what this team looks like. Look, if there's a great deal out there to be done and it obviously makes you better, let's all hope that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that the Leafs lost a lot of games in overtime in the shootout,
mm-hmm.
lost a lot of easy points there.
Yep.
So they could easily pick that up. Like, this team might be better than we thought it was
mm-hmm.
because the luck may change for them there. Or they might get an... You know, Austin Matthews goes down for half a season. I hope that doesn't happen, knock on wood. But they got pretty lucky with health in a lot of ways.
They did.
Maybe there's a lot of teams who jump forward and then stall a little bit. Like, I think we have this idea that they're one player away from being world beaters. And that may not be true. Like, isn't there something to be said for, let's see this year play out. And at the end of it, you still have a reasonable amount of cap space to work with. And then you can make a better decision of how close and how good you really are.
All right. It's a reasonable and thought out and logical approach. I didn't insult you there. I didn't disagree with anything
you really
said.
Didn't, no.
I didn't at
but
all.
You kind of did. Though.
I kind of did. Yes.
A reasonable, well thought out approach.
Or, you know, utilize this.
You said insultingly.
Yes, I did. Or use this incredibly unique situation and strike. Strike now.
I did a Leafs draft in 6 words. Did you do one? Because you were away. Did you actually get one?
Oh, of course. I got a couple Leafs.
Do you want to throw one out?
All right. Let me just pull up.
I got a couple pulled up here.
All right.
All right. So this is, we do Leafs in 6 words. So this is a unique situation because we're just on the cusp of draft night. So the Leafs draft in 6 words.
Mm-hmm.
You're smiling at some of yours already, so I'll let you go first.
All right. I got three. One is a simple one. Impossible to duplicate last year's draft. You're not drafting Austin Matthews.
That's actually a pretty good one, though.
It's the obvious one. The other obvious one, Leafs should draft best player available. And now comes the one that is all about every one of us who complains about a player that our team took or didn't take because you're all liars. 99% of you had never seen them play except in highlights. My final Leafs draft in 6 words, haven't seen Lejeune Veselainen Tolvanen. Those are three players that have all been projected to be around where the Leafs are going to pick at 17. So, yeah, those are – Craig Button loves Christian Veselainen. And so I haven't seen any of them play. So that's my third Leafs in six. Can you pronounce any of those names?
Probably not better than you. But you're not living in fear, which is why you try.
Exactly. Not living in fear.
And I dig that about you.
Yeah.
All right, here's what I got. This one's kind of for you, Maddie.
Okay.
We got players. We need players.
Oh, and that players is probably misspelled.
Brendan Shanahan cultivates a brooding aura.
Yep.
That's my Leafs. Because there's going to be a cutaway to the Leafs doing something, even if it's great.
Yeah.
And he's going to look like the second act of a Emily Bronte novel, you know. Like, oh, there's Heathcliff going over the moors. Like, he always has that. Like, he's always so concerned about something. What else do we got here? Dumba is a number 4D.
Mm-hmm.
For everybody who's overly excited about Matt Dumba.
Yep.
Tanev to Leafs, Brown to Canucks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Lamoriello is reserved no matter what.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
He could redraft Austin Matthews next year. Connor McDavid might re-enter the draft for some bizarre twist of the CBA,
mm-hmm.
and the Leafs could draft him.
Yeah.
And he would say he's going to have to find a way as a young player in this league to work on this team.
Yeah, he's going
to. He said as Mayor Quimby pretending to be Lou Lamoriello.
It was an interesting collage of accents.
You should have lived in fear of that accent.
Yeah. That's a time when you should have been more fearful.
I love listening to Lou Lamoriello when there's so obviously good news to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Or
it's like, you know. Who is more excited Lou Lamoriello when they won the draft lottery last year, or Connor McDavid when he won the Hart? Okay, let me get up.
Sidney Crosby, the cutaway to him when Marc-Andre Fleury was up there, and he's saying hello to the Vegas crowd, and they cut away to Crosby, who honestly looks like he just found out he had to do jury duty.
It's so,
and compare that to the NBA budding stars that we're going to get to see tonight. I mean, these guys are coming out and having fun. Man, the NHL is one dour group of guys. I just wish Brent Burns could be on every team.
Yeah.
And, and the league just doesn't know what to do with that guy.
No. Brent Burns and PK Subban, and that's kind of the list. Right? Remember when Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner were singing Bon Jovi, and that was like a controversy. Oh, they're ruining the game.
Which reminds me, actually, to go back to the Calder, and just to wrap up some Leafs thought, is I'm really curious to see what this team does with Austin Matthews, because he's not just a great player.
Mm-hmm.
He's a star.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm watching Connor, and Connor's a great player, but not a star.
He ain't a star.
And Sidney Crosby is a great player.
Yeah.
He's got personality on the ice. Like, he's chippy and angry.
Yeah.
And, you know, but off the ice,
Super boring.
Boring. But Austin Matthews is interesting. He had a great suit on last night.
He did.
He looked fantastic.
He looked good.
And I don't know, because they are so determined not to let this Toronto team turn into a zoo.
Yeah.
But he's got a lot of personality, and he has American star written all over him. And I wonder to what extent they will loosen up the reins and allow him to take his place at the top of the NHL.
Yeah.
Not just in terms of quality, but in terms of visibility.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They can't keep him under wraps forever.
There's going to be a war between the people and the NHL marketers, especially if they do decide to, you know, market the individuals more, and the Leafs organization. Because they're going to want two very different things.
And the owners, because they own also broadcast entities. And you want to have access to that as much as possible. By the way, quick thought here.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a Nas moment if I ruled the world.
Mm-hmm.
If I ruled the world,
yeah,
I would make Sportsnet have a 3 to 5 hour draft pregame today.
Oh, yeah.
Or on Friday, I should say. They're starting a half an hour before the draft. I don't get it.
Is that it?
Like a half hour lead up. Like, they should be on the air now. Like, this is the most crazy window of hockey news that I can remember in my life.
At least
for stuff that's fun.
For both sports and TSN, look how long the free agent frenzy and the draft deadline.
Trade deadline.
And like the trade deadline, they start like 8-9 in the morning. And, you know, I think just to murder James Duffy. And they should do the same for this. That's nuts. I mean, I know there's no Austin Matthews or Connor McDavid, but it doesn't matter. It's the draft. Make it an event. You make it an event. What are the World Juniors? That's what TSN did, you know, 15 years ago.
I would go wall to wall with this. And I would watch it too. I'm like tethered to my phone right now. Mm. I will take on any piece of information about the draft, just anything. And like you said, like there's, what's the guy? Kekalainen, what was his name? Ravutin, who were we looking at 17?
Hold on. At 17, either
Lejidren. That's Liljegren.
Oh, Liljegren. Okay.
Is that really what you're... I didn't even know that you were going with Liljegren. Really?
Yeah,
Liljegren?
Timothy
Liljegren. The guy was like ranked second overall. Like six.
Or let's see, Eli Tolvanen. Craig Bunlop's Christian Vesa.
Matt, find your fear and embrace it.
Nope.
Liljegren.
All right. Ligig.
That might be your worst pronunciation ever.
Liljegren.
He was a top five pick for most of this process.
Bob, here's the thing. I don't pay attention. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not going to be that guy that says, well, I'm debating between Cal Futter, Timothy Liljegren. I haven't seen these guys play. It's the same thing like the NBA draft. At least we watched some of them at March Madness. It's one reason why I love the draft in any sport, is we're allowed to get angry about things we know nothing about.
Who's this quarterback from Tennessee? Peyton Manning?
I don't know. That's a bit of an exception.
Uh-huh.
Because it's easier to access Tennessee football on your television than it is wherever these fellas
Last time I checked, Craigslist is on the internet for everybody.
It is, and I can read the list.
Look, I'm tired of shaming you, Matt.
I'm not shamed.
You should.
In fact,
You know what? Then I'm not tired, because we have to
keep going.
Did you have your shame gland removed? Is there like a pituitary gland and then there's just like a space in your brain?
I think I have a smaller one. I think I have smaller shame glands. I'm just honest. I know the lists. I know where people are ranked. you know, Nico or Nolan, but I don't watch these players.
Matt, there's a lot of evil in this world that comes back to the phrase, look, I'm just being honest.
Yeah, that's
there's
true.
There's a lot of bad shit that's gone down. Oh, that's our first swear.
That is.
Does that mean we have to call it a...
No, it's just one. They'll be fine at 24 minutes and like 55 seconds.
Wow.
And look at you swearing. You
mark it down.
Yeah.
All right. My takeaway
goes
back to the Raptors.
Yep.
And the Kyle Lowry news. Mm-hmm. We got the draft going tonight on the already outdated edition of the Mackle and Cause podcast.
Yep.
And this goes, I want to use Stairway to Heaven to frame this.
Okay.
Stairway to Heaven, which is the goal of every NBA team to get to that championship and the Larry O'Brien trophy.
Mm-hmm.
The Stairway to Heaven. Yes, there are two paths you can go on. But in the long run, there's still time to change the road you're on.
Ooh.
What I basically mean is Masai's going to try to keep this thing going. He's going to try to win for now. He's going to sign Kyle if Kyle wants to be here. And I would assume, we'll get more into this in a second, but I would assume he's coming back. And there's no point to blow it up now.
Yes.
Because there is still a window for this team.
Mm-hmm.
But if they choose to go, it's not much of a plank that they're walking out on. And they may have to pull it back. And the results could get ugly. It may not be pretty. So there is still time to change the road you're on, but the road you'd be going on is a pretty bad one.
Yeah.
It's really interesting going into this draft. I can't remember a time in Toronto where there was an organization at this much of a crossroads. The Leafs were not at a crossroads. They only had one decision to make that they simply refused to make for a long period of time. But when the new management came in, they looked at it, spent a year convincing the owners that we've got to do this. And then they blew it up.
Yeah.
The Jays are kind of in an interesting situation, but deep in our hearts, we know that they're going to start dynamiting this thing.
Yeah.
The Raptors, honestly, I don't know. We keep talking about how Masai Ujiri's got the hardest job in basketball right now. He's got two terrific players in DeMar and Kyle. He's got a reasonable amount of success that they've just had in the last 3 to 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you could easily see this next year being a really good one for them too. But you could see the 2 and 3 after that being pretty bad. Do you have a gut feeling, like not in terms of what he could do, because I kind of outlined what he could do, but what he should do? Because I find it hard I change almost hourly what I think Masai should do.
Yeah, we all do. Here's a great line from Eric Kareen. We're giving a lot of love today to The Athletic.
Seriously.
And he was talking about just what's coming up this offseason in the NBA. And he writes, a basketball franchise is what happens when you are waiting for championships that never come.
It's a great paraphrase of an old saying, which is life happens while you're making other plans.
Yeah, and that's kind of what this is. The odds are they're not going to win a championship with any of the players you see here. The odds are in your lifetime, you may never see the Raptors win. So then it's just, it's been so much fun the last couple of years. I'm so torn on this. I'm fine with them bringing back Lowry and DeRozan and trying again. And because the last couple of years, it's 48 to mid-50 wins. It is playoff series wins. In the minutia of the moment, it's a lot of fun. So I'm perfectly fine with them keeping them because they're also very great players and they're very good people. So I'm fine with Lowry and DeRozan coming back.
It's neat because in the past, we've said that Cleveland is this insurmountable mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's proven to be true. With the chaos that's happening in Cleveland right now, you know that at least for this next year, LeBron's going to be there, but he might opt out of his contract after that. So
yep.
He might be out of the East. He might go to LA.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of never being able to beat LeBron may only be another 12-month consideration,
mm-hmm.
and then you don't have to deal with it anymore.
Until you get to the finals and you get crushed by Golden State in 4.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe that's true. But this idea that you can't win the East because LeBron's here, there's a very real chance that that may not be the case this time next year.
Yes.
And I'm sure that the Philadelphia 76ers have a chance to be really good, but Joel Embiid's health is always a question mark. Is Ben Simmons as good as we think he is?
We don't know.
Ben
Simmons has never played. Embiid's played about 30 games in the NBA. Look great for a bunch of them, but you don't know. They have a lot of young talent with upside, but...
And not even talent with upside. They have potential stars. They
have
three potential stars, and they have the makings of a super team that's actually homegrown, which nobody's been able to do. Everything's been about acquiring guys through trade or free agency. But through the trust the process with the Philadelphia 76ers, can you imagine a super team that you actually built yourself? You're smiling at me. What's your snarky comment?
I just wonder, will Sam Presti get a championship ring if the 76ers ever win it?
You mean Sam Hinkie?
Sam Hinkie.
Because you're thinking Sam Presti, who also drafted a super team.
OKC. In OKC, Hinkie, who, you know, said we're going to be just horrible for about three or
four years. It's funny with Brian Colangelo is that he's doing some really smart things, mm-hmm. and everyone's talking about how he's just simply finishing the work that Hinkie did.
Colangelo, smart.
It's smart, eh? Like, that's the move, right?
Just snuck in at the right time.
You know, he's like the architect who shows up at the building site. And the guys are done, and he's got the hard hat on, and he acts like he built the house.
And he's got the giant novelty scissors as they're cutting the ribbon. That's all me.
You know what? That's a great nickname for Brian Colangelo. Novelty scissors
guy. Scissors guy. that's strutting in.
Oh, man. I love that. Milwaukee is fearsome because you can build off of Giannis and Jabari Parker.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows?
Yeah.
That may go. The Boston Celtics may... I don't really understand the deal they just did. Trade down. I don't really get that.
I think you know what they're doing? Yeah. They're conceding they're not going to do anything for the next couple of years. And it's just, okay, stockpile draft picks because what we did to the Nets. And LeBron's going to age in theory. And no one's beating Golden State for the next 2 years. No one's beating Golden State.
They're basically parking it for now.
Yeah.
It's like they're building a championship team in escrow. And they'll just bring it out of mothballs when it's time to do it.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing.
Well, I mean, maybe that's true. But my point is, next year, I don't think the East is necessarily a foregone conclusion. Do we not feel that the chinks in the armor of the Cavs have shown themselves a little bit?
No, they lost one game going through the Eastern Conference.
But they're in free fall right now. They're a team in chaos right now.
You're right. They are a team in chaos. But when they still have Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, and LeBron James.
We'll see how much longer they have Kevin Love for. That seems to be
but if they move,
organizational disagreement.
If they move him, they're going to bring in someone of at least comparable talent. As long as you have LeBron and Kyrie Irving and... a Kevin Love-esque level type talent, they're the best in the East. They crush the East. But the thing is, we just remember, Golden State crushed them. But Golden State is beyond.
They're the sun. Everybody else is the moon.
They are a comet. And Cleveland is just a really shiny satellite.
So it passes like once every 56 years?
Yes.
Trying to be in a field on a clear night when it passes?
They are a comet. You remember the comet, whatever it is, that hit planet Earth and destroyed all the dinosaurs?
I don't really remember it, but I've read about it. Yes.
Golden State is that comet. And what Boston is doing is burrowing below the ground.
Like the mammals.
Like the small mammals. Yes.
The Matt Cause mammals.
Yes.
Just get through it and survive.
That's what I think the Celtics are doing.
Yeah, you might be right. My point is simply, and then if I were to say to you, like, Paul George, you could trade for him and get him, and all of a sudden you've got a core that's built around Lowry mm-hmm. and DeRozan, Paul George, and Ibaka. That would feel like this team could win the East, right?
Of course.
Of course, the challenge is nobody thinks that Paul George is really going to be traded to come here.
Yes, and also
you'd have him for 1 year.
Yeah, you have him for 1 year. He's not going to stay more. The only places I think that could convince him to stay more than 1 year, maybe Cleveland. Miami, because Pat Riley and just that organization, and the Lakers. That's it.
You know what I think is really interesting about this too, Maddie, is that I think that Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment in years past would have had a hard time swallowing the pitch of a real rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
That they've never really liked the idea of taking a huge step back to take a bunch of steps forward. But I think after the Leafs and the success that they've had with their approach, I wonder if organizationally those owners, if Masai went to them and said, look, we're not going to win. Here's the reality of it. Trust me, I know basketball. Yes, we're going to take 2 years of getting our noses rubbed in it, but we're going to come out the other side and we're going to be pretty much back to where we were with a real chance to win. I think the fans would accept that.
The fans would accept it. I don't know that
they would have accepted it. People are like, Toronto fans won't support a loser. After this Leafs thing, I'm not sure that's true.
Yeah, they will absolutely support that.
If it's smart losing.
Yes, of course. Everything's always couched on it has to be done the right way. But also, I think so many Raptor fans, they watch the playoffs. They watch what Golden State and Cleveland did. They're smart. They know that the gap is massive. And you know the big loser and all that is? It's Raptor fans, and then after that, it's DeMar DeRozan.
Right.
It's DeMar DeRozan. He's going to be putting up 27 a night for a rebuilding team.
And his number's going to go in the rafters on a team that never made the Eastern Conference Final again.
Yeah.
Right. One thing I love about Raptors fans, it's a smaller number of fans than you have with the Leafs, mm-hmm. but it's almost like there's a higher barrier to entry to actually call yourself a Raptors fan. And so I really do think like the educated fan knows that if you're not going to win, it's okay to pull it down.
Yes.
Masai was almost cavalier about it. There's a bunch of different things we could do. Maybe we get Kyle, maybe we don't. You remember the kind of panic that was around DeRozan? Is he going to come back? Is he not going to come back? Because it felt like the contention window is so wide open, and if he leaves, we're all pooched. You just don't feel that with Lowry, and Lowry's the better player.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Because I think we're comfortable with the idea of if we got to take a big step back, that's fine. We'll get back up there.
You're forced to. Golden State before that, Cleveland before that, Miami, you are forced to do that if you want to try to win a championship. But then as we talked about in the first podcast about the overratedness of the championship, there is something nice about on the night-to-night basis, you'd watch a Raptors team, and the chances of them winning were over 60% every night.
Which is why they're going to re-sign Kyle, I think, and I'm going to be okay with it. Mm-hmm. Until the point where it really messes this team up, and it probably probably pushes back. You know, the funny thing is, though, Maddie, before I move on to our drinking game here,
yep.
that you saw that with the Brooks Lopez contract that was traded back to the Lakers and mm-hmm. the D'Angelo Russell deal.
Yep.
Expiring contracts have value in the current NBA. So even if Kyle stinks in that last year, he'll be making enough money that some team's going to want to clear cap room for themselves. So I do think it's a tradable contract at the back end of it in that last year.
Yep. No, that's a really good point.
You know, so it's maybe not as dire as people think. All right. So, did you hear that?
Yeah.
How could you miss it?
It's a glass table.
My wedding ring hit the glass table.
Yep.
Sorry, Maddie. I was just really excited about this bit.
That's okay.
NBA draft goes tonight.
That's right.
Love the draft.
Love it.
You going to drink?
I'm actually at the Comedy Bar tonight. If anyone's listening to this,
doing a thing.
I'm doing a comedy trivia night with Sean Cullen, one of the funnier comedians working. And anyone wants to show up and watch me get embarrassed, 8 o'clock tonight at the Comedy Bar, which is around 960 something bluer.
I will not be there.
No, it's the NBA draft.
Because A, I don't support you.
Okay, good.
B, tonight is a very special night. It's draft night. So let's do the NBA draft drinking game. Do you want to get started?
Absolutely.
All righty.
So every time, we do this for all sports to help sort of get you in the mood. Bob, every time you secretly complain that it isn't the late 90s, early 2000s, because everyone is wearing well-made suits and they don't look ridiculous, take a drink.
I'll jump right to my fashion section then, okay? Pinstripes, drink.
Yeah.
Double-breasted suit, mm-hmm. drink.
Yep.
Any of these colors, pink, purple, or all white.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Including shoes.
Yeah. Ooh.
Take a drink.
I have one fashion one. You see a watch and wonder, does that cost more than my car? Take a drink.
Or somebody's watch looks like it's actually some kind of training mechanism.
Yeah.
Oh, he's wearing one of those 4-pound wristbands.
Yeah.
He must be building up his tensile strength.
If it looks like he has all of South Africa mines on his finger, or on his wrist, excuse me, take a drink.
Jay Billis says wingspan and or length on defense, take a drink.
You're not going to work the next day.
And by the way, Maddie, can we get a better phrase than length on defense? Like when we talk about a guy's height or how long his arms stretch, just the idea of men sitting around talking about another man's length.
Yeah,
it feels a little
creepy,
a little erotic.
Yeah, very
just a little erotic,
erotique. If you're listening in France, every time you see a shot of LeVar Ball, take a drink.
I got every time. Cut away to LeVar Ball if his son is drafted by LA. Take a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Cut away to LeVar Ball if his son isn't selected by LA. Chug a Magnum.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's going to be a long night.
Speaking of us being irresponsible but wanting you guys listening to be drunk, every time a freshman is drafted, take a drink. According to most mocks, the first 10 picks are going to be freshmen. By the way, Bob, I've got a new name for the second round of the NBA draft.
Okay.
Seniors night.
That's a great name. High five.
Thank you. Yeah.
I love that one. That's really funny. Guy hugs his mom before his girlfriend. Take a drink.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Jalen Rose says, give the people what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Take a drink. Sacramento blows a lottery pick, and the panel can't hide their disdain.
Yes.
Oh, they got two shots at it tonight.
Yeah.
I think they're 5-10 tonight.
Yeah.
There you go. And by the way, I got one more.
Yeah.
You got any more?
I got one or two.
All right, I got one more. So you go and I'll go.
Every time someone says, I don't know what Phil Jackson is doing, take a drink. Every time you hear another trade possibility of Paul George, take a drink. And finally, every time you remember that it's all hopeless because the Warriors are going to win it next year, take a very large drink.
I like that one. I got a kind of a nerdy one just to wrap up on. Yep. For all you draft nerds like me, as opposed to Maddie, who's going to comedy bar tonight to further his comedy career.
That's right.
Reference to how outdated mid-range shooting is, take a drink, defends multiple positions, and has to improve his long-range shooting.
Yes.
In order to really succeed in this league. Mm-hmm. Take a drink. What's really neat about that is they used to talk about that with guards. Mm-hmm. Now it's everybody. Like even centers. They're like, he's got to improve that long range shooting.
Oh, I know.
If he's not hitting from three, I don't know what good he is to a team.
I would like to take the NBA panel and get him in a time machine. First kill Hitler. And then after that, that's what you got to do. Go to like the 84, 85 draft, whatever year Patrick Ewing was drafted. Mm-hmm. And them going, oh, you know, he's not bad, but I don't think he's going to really work. He's got no outrage jump shot at all. And John Thompson's like, what the bleep are you talking about?
He's got a motor on defense, and I love his rim protection, but on offense, you're playing 4-on-5 with this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to believe, if you're 7 feet tall and you can't hit the three, you must be thinking, what the bleep? Like, what do you want from me? I am 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
There is 0.5% of me in there in the universe. I am a unicorn by nature. And you're complaining that I can't do what a guy who's a foot shorter than me can do?
I know.
Isn't it enough being 7 feet tall?
It's really not fair.
It really isn't fair. Yeah. All right. So we still got our big question coming up later where Maddie and I discuss our favorite nights of the calendar in terms of sports.
That's right.
Each of the individual sports. Top five ranking coming up where I discuss my love of steak and it's always a little sad discussing it. Best sides that go along with the steak. Maddie, did you have any non-sports takeaways you wanted to do?
The main one really was just how much I love watching people drink in airports.
Are we going back to that?
Yeah, well,
let's do it.
We covered it. I'm just saying we already covered it. But actually, the one thing I want to do is I want to give a shout out.
Oh.
I was able to wear mine. You were not. Okay. To one of the listeners, Buffalo Phil, who made us shirts, who made us Macko and Kaz shirts. And can you read what mine says, Bob?
Someone made us a shirt, which is like so incredible.
So nice.
So thank you, Phil, for that. That's brilliant. So it's a square, and written inside the square is the Matt Cause Super Terrific Good Times Podcast, and then in tiny, tiny lettering, co-featuring Bob Mackowitz.
Love it.
Which was almost the name of this podcast.
That was, I don't know, one of us was lobbying for that to be it. I don't know which one of us. But yes, we
put it in front of the focus groups, which consisted of you and me, and there was only a 50% approval rating on that one.
Yeah, and then we ended up with Macko and Cause.
I actually have a new segment I wanted to before we get to the top five.
Yeah.
It's called, it's a brand new one. I'm very excited about it. My wife and I actually developed it this morning, mm-hmm. and she said, you and Matt should do this on your podcast.
All right.
This great idea. The name says it all. Let's rip Landsberg.
Okay, good. Let's do it.
Both Maddie and I have worked with Michael Landsberg on and off for the last two decades. We've got a bazillion stories and insights into a man that you may well love to hate. Mm-hmm. So this morning, I was doing something stupid, and I didn't really want to apologize for it. And so I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, what do you want me to say? I'm sorry. And I realize that's the Landsberg move.
That's right.
When you're not sorry for something, but you say you're sorry, and if the person challenges you about your dishonesty, he turns you into the villain.
Yes.
He does this all the time. So, Matt, let's say that I ate your lunch by accident.
Yeah. Okay. I can just, Bob, what are you doing? I'm starving. I've been saving that lunch. I had it from last night. This was my leftovers. I wanted to eat it.
Yeah. I'm really sorry.
Yeah, but Bob, I ate the, I mean, I don't care that you're sorry. You ate my sandwich and you ate the rest of my lasagna.
Yeah, Matt, I said I'm sorry. I don't know what else you want me to do. I'm sorry.
I want my lasagna. Right, because it's a disarming move.
And all of a sudden, and he's brilliant at it. I give him credit. Like, he's the Matlock of sports radio because he finds a way to just somehow twist everything around so you're the villain.
Well, let's think about this. Michael is deathly afraid of food and weight gain. And when someone is angry at you, what do they want? They want a pound of flesh. And Michael's happy to give it to you. Here's a pound of flesh. Here's a pound of flesh. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
He's
I'm sorry.
Losing
I'm
weight.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, here's a pound of flesh. What do I care? Ah, I'm moving on. I'm already thinking about my next spin class.
I love it. All right. So as it comes up over the weeks ahead, let's rip Landsberg.
Let's rip Landsberg.
I think we could do it every week. It's not that hard.
It really isn't.